Well, good morning again. It's good to see you today, and I want to encourage you to find your outline and your program today, your bulletin, better known as the bulletin, and we're going to continue this series, Our Extraordinary God Uses Ordinary People. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Amen? Well, okay. You may be extraordinary already, I don't know, but God uses average people. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 7 is a verse we're going to look at today. We've been going through Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at God's Hall of Fame. God's Hall of Fame. Last week we looked at Moses. Today we're going to look at Noah. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about something that had never happened before. By his faith, he condemned the rest of the world and was made right in God's sight. As you read that verse, as you think about Noah and how God used Noah, have you ever asked the question, why did God choose Noah? What was it about Noah that was different that caused the Lord to, when he was going to destroy the world with a flood, that God chose Noah to be the one to sustain that come through that flood and to live? You know, archaeologists tell us that at the time of the flood, there were 1 million people in the world. Noah was one in 1 million. Why did God choose him? Now, if you were God, think about this. If you were God and you were living at that time, would you choose you? Would you be chosen by God? That's kind of a scary thought to think about that. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. When God chooses to use us, to use you, to use Noah, He looked at Noah's heart, and He looks at our heart when He chooses to use us. And I want you to see four characteristics in the life of Moses that I believe any ordinary person can have in their life. You might say, well, Noah was an extraordinary man. He was an extraordinary man of faith, and that's why God chose him. No, Noah was just like you and I. Noah was an ordinary man, an average man. And I want you to see four characteristics that we could have in our life and that God could use us in extraordinary ways. Now, the story of Noah is in Genesis chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9, the story of the flood. And we find those four characteristics about Noah in those chapters. First of all, when God looked at Noah, God saw a man who was ready and willing to do what God wanted. He was ready and willing to do what God wanted. Now, that's pretty obvious. Look at chapter 6, beginning in verse 8 of Genesis. It says, now the Lord observed the extent of the people's wickedness, and He saw that all their thoughts were consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry He had even made them. It broke His heart. And the Lord said, I will completely wipe out this human race that I have created. Yes, and I will destroy all the animals and birds too. I am sorry I ever made them. But. Now that's the word. That's the word you really want to look at here. Circle that word. But Noah found favor with the Lord. The Lord God looked down, and He found one man that He could use and that He was going to use. Now, here is the entire population at that time, and God could only find one man who was ready and willing to do what God wanted. And in God's eyes, availability is much more important than your ability. So many times we think that it has to be our ability. But God says, I just want you to be ready and willing to do what I ask you to do. I am more interested in your attitude than I am in your ability. But most of us use our ability as an excuse. or our lack, what we think is a lack of an ability. We say, well, I just couldn't do that. God could never use me. I couldn't do anything. But it's just simply being ready and willing to do what God asks you to do. There was a Baptist minister who was a professor at a college in Pennsylvania some years ago, and he was called to preach at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, at another college. And so he drove to that college, and before he was to speak, several men took him aside. They took him in the back room and a prayer room, and they prayed for him before God would use him in that speech. And while these men were praying, one man, just kind of in the middle of the prayer, just kind of off the cuff, said something like this: "And Lord, about Bert Harris. Bert Harris needs you really badly. He lives in that trailer down the street, and he's considering leaving his wife and family. And Lord, if you could just get through to Bert Harris, that would be great." And then the man went on with his prayer. And so this pastor thought that was strange to pray that, but he went out and he spoke and he finished. He got in his car and he was driving home, and on his way home, he picked up a hitchhiker. Now he said, I know you're not supposed to pick up hitchhikers. But we Baptist preachers like to do that because then we have a captive audience. And so as the man got in the car, he says, "By the way, what's your name?" And the man said, "Bert Harris." And this preacher slammed on the brakes. He stopped the car. He turned the car around. And the guy said, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" He's saying, "I'm taking you home. You're leaving your wife and your family, and I'm going to take you home. That is not right. God does not want you to do that." And he took that guy to that trailer, and the guy said, "How did you know where I lived?" And he said, "God told me." And he took that man back to his family, and they prayed together, they talked together, and that family was reconciled. And that man said, "Well, how did you know?" God told him where he lived and what was going on in his life. But that man was just an ordinary person is the point of all of this. But he was ready and willing. He was waiting. He was available to the Lord. And as soon as he heard the name Bert Harris, that prayer came together and God used him. And you say, "Well, God will never use me like that." God has never used me like that. Well, God wants to. God wants to use us like that. He wants us to be available to Him, and He's interested in our attitude. He's interested more in our availability than He is in our ability. God is not, it's not so much that it's super talent. If you just look around and see the people, the kind of people that God is really using for His glory, they're not super talented people. They're ordinary people with faults and hang-ups and fears, and they're not necessarily brilliant. They're most of the time, many times, just of average intelligence. They're just simply ready and willing to say, "God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing. I'm willing to do it." Just look at the disciples. Have you ever just looked at those disciples pretty close? Without Jesus, they were a bunch of losers. You know, they were poor fishermen. And it seems like every time Jesus encountered them before He called them to be His disciples, they were mending their nets. They couldn't even keep their nets together. But Jesus used those disciples in a mighty way because they were ready and willing to do what God called them to do. That's the first characteristic you see in the life of Noah. A second thing that you see in Noah's life is that Noah stood out in his time. And verse 9 is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless man living on the earth at that time. He consistently followed God's will and enjoyed a close relationship with Him. Notice in that verse, Noah was the only blameless man living on the earth at that time. Morally, Noah was a man of deep conviction. Noah was a man who dared to be different. He wasn't afraid to stand out. He wasn't afraid to stand alone. He wasn't afraid of what other people thought. He wasn't out to win a popularity contest. At this point in the world's history, the Bible tells us that the world was morally bankrupt. And in verses 11 and 12, it says that there was corruption. There was violence. There was immorality. And people were living evil lives. It was the pits. Yet Noah was not influenced by all of those evils. In spite of the fact that he lived in a terrible society, it says he was blameless among the people of his time. He wasn't afraid to stand alone for God and to be different for God. You know, in America, we have a tendency to think and to say and to act like and to live our lives like the majority is always right. And that's what we think in America. If everybody's doing it, then it must be okay. If it's popular, then it must be right. But Noah refused to go with the majority. You know, the majority is often wrong. And Noah says one plus God equals a majority. And that's the way he looked at his life. Think about the criticism that Noah must have received while he's building that ark. Just think about the ridicule from neighbors. Man, Noah just doesn't have it all together. Noah's half-baked. You know, ain't he turned the oven up on Noah. Noah, you know, the lights are on, but there's nobody home, you know. He's building this boat out there. And they'd see him in the local discount store buying his laundry detergent, and they'd be whispering behind his back, and they'd be laughing at him. He'd say, well, man, he's a strange fella. He thinks the world's going to end. And this happened over a long period of time. And I can imagine that he probably, at some point, his family got fed up with him. And his family, you know, felt the pressure. And you know, just think about this. How would you have liked to grow up in Noah's family as Noah's child? Just think about that. You know, you go to school, and they'd ask, what's your daddy do? Well, my daddy builds ark. He builds an ark. He's an ark builder. Yeah, right. You know, Dad, that boat in the front yard, it is so embarrassing to me. Why can't you get a normal job? This doomsday talk, it's all over town. And so Noah got flack from his neighbors. He got flack from his family. Could you put up with being misunderstood and criticized year after year because of your convictions? Because you're doing what's right for the Lord Jesus Christ? Conformity in America is often the enemy of Christianity. In America, we don't have to worry about being persecuted. Nobody's going to come to your door and knock it down and haul you off to jail. But we get worried just about standing out and being different and standing alone for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we so many times want to blend in. We don't want to be different. We don't want to be unique as a Christian. And the popular opinion is to blend in. And for Christians, so many times Christians say, well, it's okay to be a man without conviction. I just blend in. I just don't have any beliefs. I just don't have any convictions. But Noah was not afraid to stand alone and to stand out while everybody else was going to the dogs. He said, I will not participate in those kinds of things. He was blameless among the people of his time. Proverbs tells us that the fear of man is a trap. That means if you worry about and you want to follow what the popular opinion is, what others are doing just so you can be popular, it is a trap. It is a dangerous thing, and it is hard to live for God that way. If you worry about what does everybody else think, then you're in trouble. But Noah was available. He was ready and willing to stand out, to stand alone, and he stood out in the crowd because he had convictions about what the Lord had told him to do. What gave him the confidence to stand alone for so many years? We see that in verse 9. It says, Noah consistently followed God's will and enjoyed a close relationship with him. Noah had a personal relationship with God. It was an intimate, close relationship with the Creator God, the God who had designed Noah, the God who had created Noah, the God who had made Noah. This God was in close relationship with him, and Noah with him. And that gave him the strength to say, I don't care what everybody else does. I'm going to do what I know is right for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of person, ready and willing, that God is looking for. That's the kind of person who will stand out and stand alone for the Lord. There's a third characteristic in Noah's life. The Bible says that Noah obeyed all God's commands. He obeyed all God's command. Noah didn't obey God's commands on Noah's timetable. Noah didn't obey God's commands in the way that Noah wanted to obey God's commands. He didn't obey God's commands if he only felt like it. But Noah followed the commands of the Lord completely and exactly the way God had told him to do those things. And he followed the Lord without excuses. Look at verse 22 in Genesis chapter 6. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. Did he say that he did some of the things he wanted to. It says he did everything exactly as God commanded. And in chapter 7, in verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Not some, not partial, he did all. It was absolute obedience. Obedience. That word obedience is simply another word for faith. It is another word for faith. You say, well, I've got a lot of faith. I want to ask you the question, and God would ask you this question. How much do you obey God? How much do you obey Him? It takes faith to obey God. Faith is following instructions even when it doesn't make sense. The project that God gave Noah didn't make sense. It had never been done before. You know, it didn't make sense for several reasons. First reason it didn't make sense is that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, before the flood, it had never rained. And the way that God watered the earth before the flood was that a mist, some springs came up from the earth. And they'd never seen rain before. So it didn't make sense. Why build an ark? It's never rained before. We've never seen floods. We've never seen enough water to float a boat that size. The second reason it didn't make sense is that not only had it never rained, but Noah was at least 500 miles away from the nearest ocean. How is it he's going to get it 500 miles across that land? Didn't make sense. But the biggest thing that didn't make sense was how was God going to round up all of those animals? You know, all of the animals at that time, two by two, male and female, to load up that ark. How was God going to do that? And so it's just absurd. But you know what? God created those animals. And if God can create them, He can certainly round them up anytime He wants to and bring them to any place that He wants to bring them, which is what He did with the ark. But the thing about Noah, he didn't make any of those excuses. He didn't argue, he didn't complain, he didn't explain it away. He just said, okay, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do. He just had this attitude, I'm going to obey God to the letter. And one of the real tests of faith in life is how do I follow the will of God? Do I follow His instructions even when they don't make sense? Do I follow His instructions even when I don't understand it? You know, as parents, you probably experienced this before. You know, you tell your child to do something and they say, why? Why? Well, so many times I wanted to say, and I did say, just go and do it and then come back and I'll tell you why. Well, that is exactly what God wants from us. He says, do it, and we say, why? And God says, you go and do it first and then I'll tell you why. Most of the time, if you go and do it, then you'll know why. And so Noah was ready and willing to do what God wanted. Noah stood out in his time. Noah obeyed God to the letter, and that's why God could use him in an extraordinary way. But the fourth thing about Noah, Noah is an example of endurance. Now, last week we talked about Moses. Moses had to wait 80 years for the fulfillment of his goal to see the people of Israel free out of Egypt. 80 years. But Noah had to wait longer than Moses. Noah is a key example of endurance, of patience, of persistence, of determination. Noah was a hard worker. The Bible says it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Genesis chapter 6. And looking at verse 3, the Bible says that God delayed the flood for a period of time. It says, then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time. God says that there is a limit to my patience when it comes to sinful human beings who will not confess their sins, who will not repent of their sins, who will not be obedient to me. There is a limit to God's patience with mankind when mankind just continually is disobedient to him. And it goes on to say in this verse, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, they will live no more than 120 years. Now, this is saying that after the decision was made to destroy the world, God waited another 120 years. There was a delay for 120 years. Why? Because Noah had to build the ark. That's how long it took him to build the ark. And he had to, and the ark had to be ready. And God was waiting on Noah to get it finished. Now, here's the question. If you want to be used by God, and I pray that you do, God wants to use you in an extraordinary way. And you say, well, I'm just an average person. I'm just an ordinary. God delights in using ordinary people. But if you want to be used by God in extraordinary ways, let me ask you the question. Could you maintain your enthusiasm for a project that took that long, 120 years to complete? Do you think that you could keep your motivation up? Do you think you could stay excited and keep on keeping on if you knew it was going to take your entire life? Can you imagine Mrs. Noah? Noah comes home from work one night, and he sits down to bean sprouts or something like that. And Mrs. Noah says, how was work today? Well, same as usual. Same place, same thing, boring. Most likely, there were many days that Noah hated to look at that ark. You know, our brother Don, I appreciate, he's got endurance. A member of Big Spring Baptist Church for 70 years. Now the church, the Bible says the church is a family. It's not like a family, it is a family. It's a spiritual family. And in the sense of being a spiritual family, it is a little bit like an earthly family. And you know what? Earthly families aren't always on the mountaintop. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes we have to go through the valleys. And there were mountaintop times, as you look at the history of Big Spring Baptist Church, there were mountaintop times in that 70 years, but there were also some valleys. Brother Don, he is a man of endurance. He is a man of patience. He is a man of persistence. And that is an example sitting right here with us this morning. But Noah had that endurance as well for 50 years longer, brother. And, you know, he just kept on keeping on that enthusiasm and that motivation that God wanted him to build that ark, and Noah never gave up. You know, God can't use us ordinary people sometimes because sometimes we give up too soon. And when we give up too soon, likely it's because of one of three things or all three things. There are things that have a tendency to cause us to give up. To give up on what God has called us to do. To give up on what God has so explained to us exactly what it is he wants us to do. Problems. Problems will cause us to give up. You know, every good idea has something wrong with it. And every possibility there's a problem. But that's how you grow. That's how you mature. That's how you develop. And there were infinite number of problems with Noah as he was building the ark. Consider the problems of getting inside that ark. Can you imagine the headache of trying to separate the animals in the ark that like to eat each other? In other words, it wouldn't be a good idea to put the lions with the lambs. Probably not a good idea to put the birds with those only two worms, you know. And so there was that problem. But that was God's problem. And that was one of the things that Noah could have made an excuse about. How do you provide food for all those animals? Not everybody likes hay. And again, that was God's problem. If God can make the world, he can feed the animals in the ark. But the biggest problem of all, 380 days, sanitation had to be a problem. It was probably a pretty smelly place at the end. But that was God's problem, and God dealt with that. And Noah never complained about those problems. Pressures will cause us to give up. Well, this is a big responsibility. You're going to start all over the creation of mankind with me? Man, what a tremendous responsibility. I don't know if I can handle this. I'm going to crack up. I'm going to go Looney Tunes or something. Pressures. And then the third thing is people. People can cause you, tempt you to give up. People will disappoint you. People will misunderstand you. People will criticize you. People will let you down. And that tempts you to give up. But God used Noah because he was a man of commitment. He was a man of endurance. Every day, Noah preached a sermon. Noah didn't get up in a pulpit like this and behind a podium and preach a sermon verbally, but Noah preached a sermon every day of his life because of his obedience to God. One day at a time for 120 years, every day as he nailed those nails and built those boards and bent everything into shape, he was saying to the world, I believe in God. That's why he stood out. That's why he didn't give up for 120 years. I read a poem, came across a poem this week. You may have heard Tennessee Ernie Ford sing this song one time. It's entitled, Oh, the Lord Looked Down. The Lord looked down from his window in the sky, said, I created man, but I don't remember why. Fussing and fighting since creation day, I'll send a little water and wash them all away. The Lord came down, looked around a spell, and there was Mr. Noah behaving mighty well. And that is the reason the scriptures record Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord said, Noah, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be some water. There's going to be some mud. So take off your hat, Noah. Take off your coat. Get Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and build yourself a boat. Noah said, Lord, I don't believe I could. The Lord said, Noah, get some sturdy gopher wood. You never know what you can do until you've tried. Build it 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. Noah said, there she is. There she is, Lord. The Lord said, Noah, it's time to get aboard. Take a creature, a he and a she, and of course, Mrs. Noah and the whole family. Noah said, Lord, it's getting mighty dark. The Lord said, Noah, get those creatures in the ark. Noah said, Lord, it's beginning to pour. The Lord said, Noah, hurry up and shut the door. The ark rose up on the bosom of the deep. And after 40 days, Mr. Noah took a peep. He said, we're not moving, Lord. Where are we at? The Lord said, you're sitting right on Mount Ararat. Noah said, Lord, it's getting mighty dry. The Lord said, Noah, see my rainbow in the sky? Take all your creatures and people to earth, and don't be more trouble than you're worth. You know, as you think about what God did in Noah's life, I need to ask myself the question, ask yourself the question, what has God done in your life lately? What has he done in your life lately? I'm not talking about last year. I mean last week or last month. When was the last time you had an answered prayer? When was the last time God used you in an exciting way to help somebody? Most of the times when God uses you aren't really that dramatic as that story I told you about earlier about Bert Harris, but God will use you if you'll get usable. Wouldn't you like to be used by God? That's where you find fulfillment in life. That's why you were created. That's why God put you here on this earth and designed you the way he has designed you, to be used in an extraordinary way for him. That is the only place you will find fulfillment. That is the only way, place you will find purpose. That is the only place you will find abundant life, and you will find satisfaction and contentment there and only there. That's where you find the niche for which you were created. You don't find it in other things. You find it in finding God's purpose and plan and being right in the center of the plan of God. Now, how can you get to the place where God can use you, an ordinary person, an average person with average intelligence, average ability? Where can you get the place where God can use you? Well, you get to that place just like Noah did. You come to God and you say, God, I'm ready and willing. Whatever it is, God, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but I believe it's something extraordinary. It's something that will last for eternity. And God, I'm ready. I don't have much ability, God, but you know what I do have. And God, you said you would work through me. I'm here, ready and willing. And then, not only to be ready and willing, but willing to stand alone at school or at work. Maybe you've been afraid to let them know that you are a Christian at work, or afraid to let them know that you are a Christian at school. Afraid to stand alone, afraid to stand out. God says, if you will stand out and stand alone and be willing to be different, I can use you. If you're not ashamed to let others know that you're a Christian. The third thing, commit yourself to obey completely and exactly the plan of God that He's given you from His Word. And then number four, you endure, you persevere, you don't give up, you keep on keeping on. Are you that way? Do you keep on going for God even when the going gets tough? What does it take? How much does it take for you in order to get you to give up? How much does the devil have to throw at you in order to get you to give up doing what you know God wants you to do? One of the tests of faith is how long can you wait? There's an epilogue to Noah's life, and we got to tell this because Noah wasn't a perfect man. And in Genesis chapter 9, I really wish that this story wasn't there about Noah, because this is a downer. But in a sense, it's also an encouragement as you look at it. But here's Noah, a man who lived blameless all of his life, the only godly man in all the world that had faith and persistence and availability, all those great things that God says about Noah in these chapters. After the flood, when the land dried out, it says that Noah built a vineyard and he fermented the grapes. And Noah got drunk, and he took off all of his clothes, and he made a fool of himself. Now, why does the Bible even include that? This spotless, blameless record that he had at the end of his life, Noah blew it. Why didn't God just leave that out of the Bible? Well, one of the things I love about the Bible is that the Bible doesn't gloss over those kinds of things. One of the reasons why I believe this Bible, this book, it's a supernatural book. It is not a book simply written by man. It's a book that is supernatural, written by God. It's the only way that, one of the ways that you know that it's supernatural, written by God, is that you hear how the heroes of the Bible were sinners. They made mistakes. They failed at times in their life. The Bible tells us the truth even when it hurts. And the Bible says that while Moses was a great man and he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he also murdered a man. And the Bible tells us that David, King David, who wrote the Psalms, also committed adultery. It lays it on the line. The Bible puts it right up front. It says this guy blew it, and Noah, who lived perfect when everybody else was blowing it, Noah blows it. Kind of a downer. But it goes back to the subject of this series, that God uses ordinary people. And if Noah had never had anything wrong in his life, we'd say, well, Noah was a perfect man. Noah had it perfect. I could never be about like Noah. The fact is, Noah wasn't perfect. He was a human. He was a sinner. He blew it. He had a problem. He made a fool of himself. But in spite of that, God still put him in the hall of fame in Hebrews. That's the kind of God I worship. That's the kind of God that we have. God does not compromise on sin. That's not what I'm saying. He never compromises on sin, but He is a compassionate God toward sinners who want to be forgiven, who want to live for Him. God says, you can start over. I don't know where you're at today, but God says, you can start over. And I don't care how many times you've blown it, God can still use you for the rest of your life. And I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care how many times you've fallen flat on your face. You're not a failure just because you fall. You're a failure if you refuse to get up. Maybe there's been a moral problem in your life. Maybe there's a bad habit in your life that you haven't been able to kick. Maybe you're dealing with that right now. Maybe you've had some fears. Maybe you had some insecurities. Maybe you've got a temper. Maybe you have a problem with jealousy. Maybe you feel inferior and you don't like the way you look. God doesn't care. I don't care what your hang-up is. Everybody has at least one hang-up, but that does not disqualify you from being used by God. If God only used perfect people, nobody'd get used. He couldn't use anybody. But our extraordinary God uses ordinary people. And He wants to use you. Now the place to start is, if you've never done this, is to ask God to come into your life. To ask God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, You died on the cross to pay the penalty for those sins. Jesus, would You forgive me? Would You come into my life? And Jesus will say yes every time. If you pray that sincerely and you say, God, I really want that. That's really what I want. I want my life to be changed. God, I'm an ordinary, average person, but I want to be used by You. God, would You come into my life? We're going to sing a song of invitation right now, here in a few moments, as our musicians come. And I'm going to ask our solo class that's going to be praying at the altar during our invitation time, if you would just come and begin to pray for our invitation time. Begin to pray for those who are right now dealing with a decision that will mark their eternity. My friend, the Bible says that you're going to live in eternity in one of two places. It's either heaven or hell. Do you know today, if you were to die today and go out into eternity, do you know where you will live for all of eternity? Have you settled that in your heart today? God says, come to Me, and I will in no wise cast you out if you'll come to Me through My Son Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing.
I know You. Every stride.